Hey, greetings, everyone. This is Brother James, DontPerish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hope you are doing well today. I want to come to you today with some encouragement, some teaching from God's Word, some edification. Open your Bibles and test me to the Holy Scriptures. Today's topic, it is finished. Jesus' finished work, but ours goes on. Yeah. Jesus finished work, but ours goes on. It's all about the proclamation, it is finished. In the churchianity world, it's close around that time right now, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, that I've exposed as false. Go to DontPerish.com, go to the teaching blog, look up Good Friday Exposed. Jesus didn't die on Friday, he didn't resurrect on Sunday. Go check out that article, it's all a lie. But I want to talk about today where Jesus proclaimed, it is finished. What a glorious proclamation. How important, the most important, one of the most important along with his resurrection. But what does it really mean? It is finished. Jesus is recorded saying this in John 19:29-30. And now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and they put on it hyssop, and they put it in his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. So this is a momentous, eternal event. And all of Christendom, churchianity, speaks about it, especially in the springtime when they do their false Roman Catholic man-ordained holiday that God never ordained. As I said, Jesus did not die on Friday. He did not rise on Sunday. He died on Wednesday. He resurrected Saturday. 3 days, three nights, he was in the grave. See my teaching on that to edify you in that. So it's not a bad thing that these religious systems speak of this event. What a glorious event it is. The problem is they twist it out of context. They corrupt the meaning. They lie about it. They cheapen Christ's work. And they trample the grace of God. That's what I war against. I love them and their souls, but I war against their lies and their twisting and their corruption that leans and works more towards Satan's kingdom, damning people's souls than it does the truth of God's word, because it doesn't line up with the truth of God's word. Remember, Satan used scripture as well. So what is it that he finished? It is finished. Have you really pondered this compared to what you've been taught or what people say? Now, it's very clear in Scripture what Jesus finished. We're going to get to that. But first, I want to talk about what Jesus did not finish. All right? Think about this. What he did not finish. Here we go. Churchianity tells you, modern pastors, their traditions, Roman Catholic, evangelical, whatever, that Jesus did it all and that you have nothing to do in your faith life. It's all of him, totally on him. And it is this easy believe, corruption of the truth, that I'm contending against here. The fact is, Jesus did not do your part of a blood covenant, but he did his part. We're going to show you that. And now he calls men everywhere, what? To follow and obey him. John 10, John 14. Jesus himself, his own words, prove we have a part. He did his perfectly and it's finished, but we have a part. Jesus did not finish your part in the blood covenant. How about this? Churchianity says Jesus took all your sin, past, present, future, and even if you keep sinning on today and willful sin, he died once and it's all taken care of. You're still fine. You're good. You're covered. That too is another lie from Satan and man. Jesus did not obey for you. And when I say that, I mean he was the perfect Lamb of God. He shed his blood. We need his perfect righteousness. But there is a call for obedience among the people and the sheep of God. It's all over Scripture. We must obey. And we cannot live in willful, ongoing sin as part of our disobedience. Hebrews 10:26 tells us, if we keep sinning willfully, there is no sacrifice. That proves my point right there with many other verses as well. Jesus did not obey for us. We have to obey on our own. He obeyed to become the perfect Lamb of God to make the way for us. You hear what I'm telling you here? How about this? Modern pastors say Jesus sealed your salvation. You can't lose it. Once saved, always saved, right? I refute this every day in the streets when I'm out witnessing. Here's a fact. Jesus did not guarantee your path or eternal place in heaven without your faith, repentance, obedience, and enduring in cooperation with him. Of course, the Spirit helps us in all that. Of course, we can't repent without him calling us. Of course, we can't be born again without him sending the Spirit. But there is a cooperation of our will working with his. We're called to faith, repentance, obedience, and enduring new life he gives us. Go see Revelation 2 and 3. Jesus, long after he's resurrected, warns the bodies in Revelation they better repent and get back to their first love, or he's going to remove their light and their lampstand. Not a good thing. Jesus did not finish that for us. These false places will also tell you, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, nothing is required of you. Just believe. This is that easy, greasy grace movement. Well, part of that is true. Faith in his work is required. Can't please God without faith. And he is the foundation we need. His perfect righteousness, we can go nowhere, have no hope without that. We're not talking about working our way to heaven here. That's something no man could do. But nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus himself always taught a saving faith is shown by works, just like James said in chapter 2. Go read Matthew 25. Jesus talks of the righteous, obedient sheep entering the kingdom, the unrighteous, disobedient, sluggard, lazy goats sent away. If you're born of God, you have the fruit you're born of God. The Bible is very clear on this. They also say that what we believe for doctrine, it doesn't really matter, that Jesus died and he took all that away. Don't squabble over this or that. These are all non-essentials. Striving for truth doesn't matter. They say he did it all, he took care of it all, just believe in him and we don't have to worry about any of that. Well, these are more lies from man and Satan. Total heresy from the pits of hell. Jesus and Paul both taught us in many verses. Here's an example. In Mark 7, Jesus said, if you keep man-made false traditions, you worship God in vain. Why would he say that if it didn't matter? And how about what Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:16? Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, continue in them. Do you see endurance there? Yeah. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Wow. Truth. Doctrine, instruction, sounds really important. Hey, Jesus is the truth, is he not? He certainly is. What a glorious Savior he is. Anyone who tells you that Jesus saying it is finished means he did it all for you and me, and we have no part in this obedient, holy, blood covenant walk we're in with God. Meaning, they say, just believe, but you don't really have to have repentance, obedience, or endure as our part of the covenant. They're lying to you. They're false teachers. They're listening to doctrines of demons. If they tell you that you have no work to do because of what Christ has done, they have a false gospel that lacks the call to holiness, obedience, and godly fruit, proving we're of him. We don't work our way to heaven. No one could do that. But we also don't live in sin if we're set on heaven. We don't walk in false ways if we're guided by the Spirit. Do you see what I'm saying here? This is like telling a young man and a young woman that get married that, okay, you got married on Saturday. Now there's nothing really to do. You're done. You got married. No. Daily, there's much to do in a marriage covenant. Just like daily, there's much to do in a blood covenant, following after this glorious Savior who's made a way for us. It is finished. He finished his part. Ours does go on. In salvation, again, we don't work to be saved. I'm so tired of hearing that. That is total, utter foolishness. But we are called by faith to obey in holiness and work for the one who bought us with a price and saved us and redeemed us. If you're not striving to work for God in every area of your life, in every thought, in every way, in every breath, I don't really think you love God. Matthew 22, with all that you are, I think you love yourself and you're just looking for a ticket to heaven. The fruit of being transformed by the Holy Spirit is you now think of all things eternal, the kingdom, and your desire is to glorify God in all of your ways. This is all the fruit that we are of Him and in Him. It's the fruit, we are His branches bearing much fruit, John 15. Without that, we're cut off and thrown in the fire. We have things to do. Jesus did not ever say, nor did He ever teach, nor did Paul or Peter or anyone else, that our work was complete and done, that there was nothing to do. No, they didn't teach that at all. Modern pastors and churchianity have invented this over the ages. Roman Catholic, evangelical, whatever. It pleases people, it scratches itchy ears, and it fills up pews when it comes to "it is finished." Yep, you can be a lazy, spiritual, sinful, willful, sinful sluggard, and they say Jesus finished it all for you. That comes from the lips of Martin Luther, who said, "Sin 1,000 times a day, and nothing can separate you from Christ." This is rank heresy. Jesus didn't teach it, nor did any of the disciples. We must carry our part of a blood covenant. Don't you think that's why Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me, lose your life? Don't those all sound like things we are to do? I'm not good at English, but those are verbs, I believe, right? A verb is an action word. Follow, do, pick up your cross. That's our part. That's not what Jesus finished, all right? And we're going to get to that. So what did Jesus finish then? You're going to say, well, you're talking about what He didn't finish. All the stuff that we're called to do is fruit that we know Him. What did He finish? Well, I often teach in context when we're looking at scriptures that we can find the truth and hints and clues around the scripture that we're looking at, and it'll give us the clue we need. So John 19, Jesus said, "It is finished," that glorious proclamation. But in the verses right above it, He tells us what He finished. Right? So remember, I just refuted, He didn't finish all of our work that we have to do as fruit that we know Him and striving and obedience, seeking the kingdom and all that. No, John 19, 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Then right after that, He said, "It is finished." All things accomplished? Think about that. What does that mean? Interesting. We know it can't be what we're called to do, all right? Because one, we didn't even live at that time, and we know future saints, the Bible calls us what we're to do as we come along in the faith. And later, we see Jesus rebuking bodies in Revelation 2 and 3 for their sin, telling them He'll remove their lampstand. Remember, we mentioned that already. And all the disciples after Jesus had risen from the grave, instructed and commanded, we run the race, we live holy, we be pure, we be blameless, we be perfect, we don't fall away, we walk in holiness, we love each other. You see what I'm saying? And we endure, if I didn't mention that. That's all part of our work unto God, not for salvation, it's fruit of salvation. Jesus did not finish that for us, He made the way for us. So that verse tells us, what was finished was Jesus' perfect work. You see, the Father had called Him to do this work a long before any of us were born, long before He actually went to the cross, the stake, all right? And Jesus did this mission perfectly. And the mission was accomplished, and He said, "It is finished." Go back. This is not a teaching on this. Sometime I'll do a teaching on many prophecies about Jesus, the Messiah, fulfilling all the prophecies. Go all the way back to Genesis 3. And God predicted the Messiah would come, starting there. And hundreds of prophecies He fulfilled in His life. And God had Him walk this out to become the perfect Lamb of God for us, to become the Messiah, to be the light, to be the way, to be the gate, to be the narrow road for us, the only way to salvation, to be the intercessor. He did all these things perfectly, sinless, that we couldn't do. That's why we need Him. We all ruined our perfect righteousness, and we need that. And so this is what he was called to do. And this is an important point. You know, the gospel, the good news, gospel means good news, was the same all the way back in Abraham's day, except for a few minor changes. Let's go there. By faith, they were called to believe. They were called to repent and forsake their sin. They were called to obey God as fruit. And God saw them as righteous because they did that. Now, they did have to have faith, repent, obey, and endure. But they also, God started a sacrificial animal sacrifice system. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 9:22. So what's changed today is, today we have Christ. He's our focus. He's our Lamb of God. Back then in the Old Testament, they had high priests. He's our high priest. So we don't shed animal blood anymore. We don't need a priest anymore. He's our high priest. We're priests unto him in the spirit. We're all part of a holy priesthood, right? But we still, the gospel hasn't changed. We still come by faith. We have to repent. He does give us his Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, they weren't indwelt. The Spirit came and dwelt upon men like David, but they weren't indwelt with the Holy Spirit, made new, born again by the Spirit, new hearts and new minds. And they had to repent. They had to obey in holiness, and they had to endure. So the gospel was not all that different. The foundation was there long before Christ walked the earth, all right? And it just was adapted for him to be the Lamb, for him to bring the new covenant from the old covenant. And what do covenants always have? They have at least two parties. God institutes it and man walks in it. So that's another point, if you ponder it, like a marriage. Husband has his part, wife has her part. Jesus did not finish our part. It is finished, was his part. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He fulfilled the law of God perfectly that God had set in stone way back in the Old Testament. He became the only gate to eternal life, the only way, the narrow path, and we must walk through it in him to eternal life. That's our part, all right? There's no doubt we need his perfect righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we're not working for our salvation. But we're called by Holy Scripture, by Jesus, by the Spirit, by all the holy men of God to live righteous, holy, obedient lives, or we will not see God. Hebrews 12:14. Why? If you're born of him, you will live that way. If you're not born of him, you won't make it. Comes down to that. What's the fruit of your life? His work is finished perfectly. Let's be clear. It is finished. That's his perfect work. Finished. Remember? Everything that was accomplished. He knew it was done. But here's a fact. Our work, following him, seeking the kingdom of God, working for our king, our work goes on. This shouldn't be a problem because Ephesians 2:10 says we were made for good works. What are we going to do? Live in sin and darkness? No, there's no sin and darkness in God. There shouldn't be any in his people. When we do fall into sin and darkness, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us if we confess. And the Bible says to forsake your sin. Jesus never saves us in our sin. This glorious Savior saves us from our sin, out of our sin. Remember, he said to people, go and sin no more. He knew the cost of sin. And just because it is finished does not mean we can live in and keep willful sin. No, if you're born of God, you hate all sin and all false ways. Psalm 119:104 says that. And you want to leave them all for his glory. Every thought, every minute, all your days, all your time, all your resources for the King of Kings. If you don't have that, I wonder if you're truly born of God, or you might be a newbie, novice, and you might be just learning these things. That's fine too. But you should be striving for these things, not thinking Jesus did everything for you as you sit idly in your sin, worldliness, and carnality. No, if you get anything from this audio teaching, please hear me out. Jesus did not finish our part. He finished his part. It is finished perfectly. All right? Why? Ask yourself, saints. Why would our Savior in Luke 13 tell us to strive to enter through the straight way if he knew he was going to finish our work for us? That makes no sense. God's not a God of confusion. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew he had to make the way. He knew his blood had to be shed to open the door for us and him to be our intercessor. But he also knew that we had a part to play in the covenant. Apostle Paul also tells us to work out our salvation in fear and trembling in the book of Philippians. And Peter says, the righteous are barely saved. What will become of sinners? Yeah. We need to be really serious about this salvation and this Savior and his perfect finished work that he finished for us. And then how are we walking in it? How are we handling it? How are we carrying out? How are we obeying is because of the fruit that we know him. That shows that we have transformed hearts and minds and we're children of the King. How do children of the King live and act? In lies and falsehoods and sin? I don't think so. He's a powerful God. And his spirit will change you to be a holy, set-apart saint working for him. Scripture shows us all over the place. Jesus made the way for us. He finished his work perfectly. But we, as the sheep of God, must do what? Remember John 10? Follow him. You know, sheep follow their shepherds and trust them. When the sheep don't follow their shepherds and go their own way, what happens to them? They're lost. They're picked off by wolves. They die. Are you following the shepherd in spirit and truth? John 4:24. That's something to consider today. It's very important that we know what Jesus finished. What does "it is finished" mean? It was all those prophecies, everything God had put upon him, him coming and carrying the weight of the world's sin upon him, him being a blood offering, him being the Lamb of God, him defeating sin, him defeating death. This is all what was put upon him. And he finished it perfectly. What a awesome Savior we have. But we're called to do that work that he's called us to right behind him as fruit that we are of him. He is our sacrifice, right? He's our perfect sacrifice. Now what are we called to be? Living sacrifices to him. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do you see? Faith and new life and the Spirit of God makes you into that type of saint, not someone that just carries a cross around and says, Jesus did it all for me and I just live in my sin and I can't stop. That's a helpless Savior. That's a weak spirit. That's a lying word. No, we have a glorious word. We have a powerful spirit and we have a wonderful Savior that can help us walk in victory. John 16:33, rejoice. He's overcome the world. We have the victory because of what he's done for us. Now we got to follow after him and endure to the end. Don't listen to these easy believe modern pastors, cheap, easy grace, blood-trampling false teachers. Our Savior Jesus faithfully and perfectly did what the Father required of him. He said, it is finished, when he knew it was all done. Then, saints, we are called to seek after him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Daily, we're called to do this. As fruit, we are his. It's not works for salvation. It's striving in the fruit and the goodness and the spirit and the word that he's given us. No one born of God keeps living on in false traditions, willful sin, and worldliness. 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Oh, I know so many people keeping Easter, keeping Good Friday, keeping Christmas, keeping worldliness, keeping churchianity, or people in little home fellowships keeping a bunch of false ways and worldliness that they like. I know so many people that say they're following Christ, but their lives don't match the word. What Savior are they following? They're following a Savior who can't save them because he's a liar full of false doctrine. That's a false Savior. I don't know. Our Savior is true. He's worthy, he's holy, and he finished it all for us. I want to go in the street and I want to preach that, and we're getting ready to do that. So I just want to ask you, how about you? How are you doing at what the Word, the Father, the Son, the Spirit has called us to do as a child of God with your life, feet, desires, efforts set on eternal life. After what we know the Word calls us to, we can't look and just say, oh, it is finished. He did it all for me. Oh, he did so much for you that you could never do for yourself, or I could never do. Absolutely. But guess what? We have a part to do that we can do for ourselves. Do you see the difference there? Yeah. In the end, will you hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Or are you going to hear what most all, Jesus said, few are going to find eternal life away from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Churchianity, false gospels, pagan holidays, worldliness, carnality, pride, vanity. These are all sins of iniquity. They're going to get you put out of the hope of eternal life to come. No, it is finished. That is the great news, greatest news of all, along with he is risen. But we don't honor this risen, perfect Savior by living in idleness, sin, churchianity, pagan Roman Catholic holidays, or false ways of our flesh. No, we honor him by walking in his word, holiness, and obedience every day, striving to show the world salt and light, and show the world that we're children of this Most High King. If you really believe the gospel, I'm going to challenge you right here. If you really believe the gospel to eternal life, go check out don'tperish.com. It's on every page. And you claim to be born of God, you better not be sitting idly thinking, oh, he did it all for me, I don't have to do nothing, listening to your false teachers that are tickling your ears, or listening to moms or dads or brothers or uncles telling you, you're fine, Jesus covers all your sin. Oh, no. If you keep willful sin and you live in it, you're on your own. You're going to have to answer for that sin yourself. You will not be cleansed by a perfect Savior as you walk in willful sin. If you really believe the gospel, you better get going. If you're really born again, you better get going in what God has called you to for his purpose, for his glory, for his kingdom, as his true saints. We have so much work to do. Ephesians 4:24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I hope that's your heart's desire today. If it is, we're here to help you. Check out all of our resources at don'tperish.com. If it's not you, you need a new heart, new mind. You need to be transformed. What are you holding out on? You love the world, family, money, traditions, your flesh. What do you love more than what this perfect risen Savior who said, it is finished? What do you love more than him that you're not willing to give up? Hey, shoot me an email. Love to help you in all of it. I hope this audio has blessed you. It is finished. Jesus perfectly finished and accomplished everything the Father called him to. He did not finish our work. We must now follow after him. Works of obedience, holiness, endurance, walking in righteousness as the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:9. Hey, I love you all. Till next time. Have a glorious day. May God be praised.